One thing I did want to mention in the spirit of my dog is making so much noise right now. What the hell is going on?
Noisy Charlie.
Get out of the room. Christ. I'm serious.
You're listening to The Jumping Charlie Show with Jumping Charlie.
This is The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
All right, I want to get started with this episode by asking everyone how tall they are.
Are you saying that people add height when they say how tall they are? Is that like what you're...
I'm going someplace with this. I want to start by saying I'm a nondescript 5'9". I have gone my entire adult life in social situations never feeling short and never feeling tall. I'm always that height that is nondescript, that is not memorable. I'm just the guy. The average size guy.
I think you can feel short sometimes.
Well, I'm not talking about in an NBA locker room. I mean, I'm talking about in a normal situation. I look around. It can be in a grocery store line. I'm never the tallest guy, and I'm never the shortest guy. I'm just, you know, right in between. Now, Yeti, you are around 5'10", right?
No, Yeti's tall.
Is he?
I'm 6'1", dude.
What?
Yeah, what are you talking about? Why'd you just assume he was 5'10"?
I'm only an inch taller than you.
Well, I haven't been in his company much. I mean, we're Zoom buddies.
Right, so I love that you just assumed he was short. I've literally never been in his company, and I knew he was tall.
How do you know that then?
Just because we've talked about it. Like he's said,
who
he's
talked
told
about
us
height.
We've talked about how the Levitard show is a tall show, and now I'm 5'11". I'm one of the shorter ones, and yet he's like, yeah, I'm 6'1". Like I just knew. He
was- yeah, see, I thought he would have been like 6'3".
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Look at me. Thank you. I take that as a compliment.
Now, Greg, according to averagemaleheight.com, you are the average male height for the United States. It's about 5'9" tall.
That's what they say, though, but that's just like, I don't care what the statistics say. If you're 5'9", you're never tall.
I agree.
Well,
like, I feel like you said in that thing, you're like, sometimes I'm tall, sometimes I'm short. It's like, you're either average or short. Okay. Let's not, like, you're never tall.
I feel short in an NBA locker room. I feel tall when I'm picking up Graceland from daycare. So it's all a matter of...
I feel like 5'11", my height, is the shortest height that can sometimes feel tall. Like, I can be around people sometimes, and people are like, wow, you're not... And even Yeti's looking at me like, sorry, Chris, 5'11"'s never tall.
Right. Oh, yeah. People whose height begins with a 6, you know, they're full of themselves. Not you, Yeti, in particular, but generally. All right, here's where I'm going with this.
Dad, when are we going to get to the elephant in this room of this episode? Because
Dan's here.
I'm still shook from what happened last night. I'm not going to lie.
And we're going to get there in just a second. But I want to say, because I didn't know about this until very recently, there is now something called leg lengthening surgery. And I'm not making... It sounds like I'm making this up. It sounds like some bizarre... topic for a movie produced by Tim Burton or something. It just sounds bizarre, but you can now, for at great cost, it's $75,000 surgery. A person can increase their height by 3 to 6 inches by having their femurs removed and inserting a titanium rod to lengthen their height. It sounds like I'm making it up, but I'm not. And
there's a much less painful way of doing that, and just buy like platform shoes. I've been seeing this thing on social media where these people go around and they have these shoes that just have this like thick base to them, and it's like giving some guy who's like 5'8", 5'9", and being like, hey, you want to feel cool? And like, and then he goes and talk like it lifts him up like 2 inches. So a guy who's like 5'9", maybe more than that, like goes to like 6'2", and all of a sudden he's got this confidence about him. Much less painful than your theory.
And cheaper.
Yeah, and much cheaper. But I was just wondering if under any circumstances, like, let's say one of you were a fairly short guy. Let's say one of you were 5'6", 5'5". Under any circumstance, could you see yourself spending that kind of money to go through that kind of surgery?
I think it's tough for us to answer that as, you know, well above average heighted people. That's true. I think like there's a mindset, and like, you know, it's one of those things where I think someone who's tall will always say, like, I can't imagine myself doing that, because they don't have that thought process of I'm short.
Right.
Like, I can't, like, I kind of feel for, you know, really short. I have friends, and like one friend is like just really short, and I just always, you know, I feel like, yeah, like I would never do that, but I could see him wanting that. So yes. Like, I've never had that thought, but if I was that short, I probably would consider it if I had a lot of money.
I'm curious if there's anybody in our audience who may be on the short side, quite frankly, if anyone would actually do that. You know what we should do later in the episode? We're going to have on David Sampson and Billy Corbin, wow, who are short men, and we're going to ask them if they would have their surgeries.
Jen.
That's right. Now, Christopher, you wanted to get to something that happened. It was a joyous occasion.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're recording the start of this episode on Saturday morning. So last night was the Cesta Cyclones home opener. I mean, they all play at the same place. So, like, their opener. And it was an exciting game. Mike Ryan, Whittingham, Hildy, Mike Fuentes, a bunch of us from the show. Dan even showed up for a little bit. My dad, me and my dad were out there. Yeah. It was, you know, getting the season going. And it was a fun night, other than an extremely serious, scary moment that happened in the middle of it that had nothing to do with High Lie.
Right. Are we going to go right there? Because I had something I wanted to say about the actual match. The Cyclones won the match.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's the lead for you?
That's the lead for me. And at one point, you had a player named, his last name is Williams.
Yes.
And I created a Willinet chant. Willinet!
The best part about this is my dad did all that after what I'm about to tell you happened. So, like, we had this, like,
oh no,
incredibly scary moment, and then my dad bounced back. All right, you know, we're just going to get to it. We're going to, like, we're doing this in the wrong order. You're leading with Willinet instead of what actually happened.
All right, go ahead.
My dad fainted, and I'm smiling right now, but it was like my dad, I wouldn't even fainted. It might be an understatement. He did the thing where we talked about this on the podcast a few months ago, where my dad
fainted at your friend's funeral.
Yes. Yeah. Like, that happened again to my dad, where he was trying to stifle a cough, and he gets insecure. So he stifles it, and he lost circulation. And so, literally, like, all jokes aside, the scariest 10 or 15 seconds of my entire life, because I wasn't there for the other one. So I've never seen my dad do this. So in the middle of it, we're watching the game. All of a sudden, we hear a thud. I look back, and my dad is just face down on the floor and out. And I'm like, holy shit. And it was 10 seconds of, like I said, the scariest moment of my life. Luckily, Mike Fuentes from the show was right there with him. And you know, it very quickly, after, I'd say it felt like a minute, but probably less than 10 seconds, he was already coming to. So it wasn't that long of a, but it was just, and it shook me for the whole, it put the whole thing in perspective. I didn't give a shit about High Lie anymore. I just wanted to go home. I just wanted to take my dad home. But he ended up bouncing back. He was one of those things where, and if you've ever been around someone who passes out, they have no clue. So he's all of a sudden coming to, and he has no clue why everyone's around him. And it was just, you know, I mean, that was it. And he bounced back. He was fine. He got up. A lot of people were there checking on him. They asked if we wanted to call the paramedics, and we told him normally we would, but since he's had an EKG a week ago, and this, we kind of know what's going on here with his cough. We didn't have the paramedics come, and he's fine now. And you know, it was, I'm still all night, I was just it was, The look back of seeing my dad, it was terrifying.
Yeah. I am, Greg, yeah. It's a lot funnier when you fall into the bushes.
Right.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, we are taking it seriously. He told his doctors about the other one, and he's going to tell them about this one. It's one of those things where, I feel pretty confident that it's just circulation, how fast you came to and how you had no recollection. It's textbook just fainting. That's why I felt a little reckless not bringing the paramedics in, because they were you should get an EKG. People were unaware of how much he's gone to the doctor. We are more aware of this than I think some people. Right. Some people were kind of looking at us I can't believe he's still here. They should be taking him to the hospital. But we were you know, he has this cough thing. It's a circulation thing. So I felt better about letting him stay there last night than some people. I could feel the vibe in the room was people kind of being is he okay? Why are you guys still here? And we're you know, he's done this before. He's gotten his heart checked regularly. He tries to stifle coughs. He has a chronic cough. So we had more information, but it was just, It was a really weird twist to the night where, like, in the middle of it for like an hour, I was just like out of it, didn't care about Highline anymore. And then, like, finally by the end of it, my dad was back. We were like, he was creating a nickname. Like, that's what I mean. 30 yeah. minutes later, he's creating the nickname
Willin' It.
And now we're all yelling Willin' It. Like,
this is great.
My dad's ability to bounce back. I believe he made a Don Chula joke and whisked Chris yeah. Whittingham's like, all right, Greg's back.
Chula.
Like, you know, like less than 5 minutes later, he's like completely like, what do you mean? Who needs me? What happened?
Yeah, nothing but, can keep me down.
It was really scary, Dad. Like, I think like you were kind of bounced back quick. And like I was texting with Whittingham and Mike Fuentes after, like, I think this affected everybody else. You're just like, this has happened to you before. So you, like, I feel like you were affected the least by this.
Well, even it's Greg's personality too, though. I mean, this is one of the areas where he and I are similar, where we just, we're going to make jokes where we can.
Right.
When I was in the hospital in February, it was, that's what they described me as, hyperverbal.
Yeah.
Because the whole time I am trying to cut jokes just because, like,
right.
I don't know. I don't like people to feel uncomfortable around me. Yeah. My dad's funeral, I'm doing the same thing.
I could picture Yeti just like talking a nurse's ear off and yeah, just being like,
that's how I want to go. Like, Greg, if I go out making some dumbass joke on somebody's name or something like that, that's a pretty good way.
I feel the same way.
Yeah. We were all like, Mike and I were joking after of like, that's how Greg would have wanted to go out at a sad right. high, at a sad High Life Fronton.
And a few Miller Lights in, you know,
I can tell you there was an emotional moment between Mike Ryan and myself toward the end there. This was right after the match had ended, right after all the Willin' It chants and all that. And I high fived him and then he drew me in for a hug. And it's the first time that Mike Ryan has ever embraced me and he, you know, whispered, are you all right? And he was very concerned. And that meant a lot to me. I woke up this morning very sore and I looked in the mirror and I had I have a fist sized red mark on my upper left shoulder, which I think is where I hit the ground based on.
But you ended up, you seemed to go like face. I would have thought the mark would have been on your face. Like,
I don't know what happened.
I don't know how it's the back of your shoulder. Maybe it's just the Rick, like the,
I don't know, but I
probably
I
just have, landed on your shoulder.
Like, yeah. I have a bruise that wasn't there on my
you
upper
definitely
left.
Went left. You were sitting, he was sitting in like a folding chair. Just like he was honestly, actually another thing we joked about is the last thing he remembers is he was watching a video that, did you see last night we put it out on social where Dan bombards my dad in the bathroom?
Oh my God.
Oh no, so, I haven't seen that one
like,
yet.
It was like, so my dad was being a narcissist, sitting in a chair, watching a video of himself laughing.
Correct.
He says that's, so like he literally went out being a narcissist.
Which is the ideal way to go.
And he like fell left. So maybe it does make sense that it was your left shoulder because you definitely went left. From your chair. You didn't go straight forward.
Oh, so you were sitting down and passed out.
Sitting, like, yeah. Laughing and, like, stifling a cough. Like
you were laughing watching a video of yourself and then you...
Right. Yeah, you know what's weird? And we'll move off this in a second, but what's fascinating to me, because I wouldn't have guessed it, for anybody out there who has lost consciousness or fainted, you have no inkling that it's coming. Like, before I ever fainted, I would have guessed... There's a second where you feel woozy.
Like, oh shit, I'm fainting.
Yeah. But it's not the case at all. 1 minute you're coughing and the next minute you're waking up on the ground and five people are staring down at you. It's the weirdest feeling.
No.
Because I was going to say, I wonder, I thought you would have been standing maybe. Maybe you also locked your legs. That's something in chorus. They tell you to make sure you always keep your knees bent a little bit while you're singing because the strain of pushing out all that oxygen while you sing, if your knees are locked, it can restrict blood flow enough to where someone will be up on the chorus risers and boom, they're gone. They just pass right out.
Wow.
Turn into a fainting goat.
So fainting, yeah, I mean, goat. It's one of those things that we're kind of joking about now, but it's definitely scary. And
yeah.
I don't want to make this about me, but like it is literally, I've never, like, knock on wood, I've been very privileged in my life. Like, anyone in my life that has passed away has been old. You know, I've had very few, like, and it was just the feeling of looking back and seeing my dad. Like, it was, I literally can't think of a scarier moment in my entire life. And it literally shook me the entire night. Like, it didn't, even after I thought I was over and we got back to celebrating, I got home and I was just like, didn't even turn on my TV. I just like laid on my couch and I just like kind of was just like, my mind was just racing and it was just, I wouldn't like wish that, like, you know, on anybody. Like, you know, I know Yeti, you've lost your dad. So like, I like that pain of just like the fear and the shock and the holy shitness and
not knowing what to do. I imagine, because my brother was with my dad, and like I think about him all the time, and I'm like, man.
I started to pull my phone out, like, am I about to call, like, and then Hildy was like, I'm doing, like, it was just, and then, like, seeing all my, like, Mike and everybody, like, obviously, like, just totally get out, like, forget about Highline, everybody was focusing, it was just.
Are you about to annoy your dad over the next several weeks on even more making sure he's taking care of himself, making sure he's.
It's, yeah, dude, it's like.
Because even I feel it, like, I feel like texting your dad now and be like, hey, Greg. You know, blah, blah, blah. Did you take your medicine, Greg? Well, you're doing this.
It's one of those things. It's one of those things where we like got a little frustrated at some point where if we felt like we were normalizing the cough, it's like, oh, okay, the cough now is just a thing he's going to live with. This can't be a thing that we're just like, oh, Greg's going to faint every 3 months.
Right.
Like,
no, you're right. It's controllable. I just have to learn to cough better.
And I think just talk to your doctor. And like, I think really hammer home of like, this is becoming a chronic thing. Like,
yeah,
what can I do? Why is this happening?
Like, yeah, we'll get off this subject by saying that we joke a lot on this podcast how I'm narcissistic or whatever, but I can promise you that fainting, having attention on me by fainting and having 10 people looking down at me saying, are you all right, is not the ideal way to.
It's pretty funny when like my dad is just so instantly like, what? Why is there like I'm fine? Why is everybody around me? It's like, Dad, you just face planted.
Right. I mean, other than like. Yeah, yeah, other than being on the ground, you have no memory of fainting.
I know.
How did I get here is the first reaction.
It was like the best thing I ever heard, though. Like, I was just like, Dad, like, you're okay, though. You can breathe. Like, he was like, just like trying to downplay everything. Like, what? I'm fine. And I'm like, Dad, you're okay, though. Like, I was like, oh, my God. Thank God. Like, oh, God. Terrible.
Anywho.
Anyway.
Right. Okay.
Transition.
Hey, welcome to the Greg Cody Show. Greg Cody.
What? I never heard of any of that stuff. It is all.
And Dan missed it. Dan showed up and stayed for like, Dan left at the equivalent of like the third inning.
Yeah.
Dan like showed up and
it
like,
was a
you
cameo
know,
by Dan.
Like kissed some babies, you know, pointed some fingers at people and then was like, all right, I'm out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
He's actually, I think someone told him, like maybe Mike told him, he's called me twice this morning. I got to get back to him.
Let me know if Corbin or Samson call in, by the way, about that leg extenders thing. Man, the Dolphins played what feels like their biggest game in years and years and years.
What, on Sunday?
Yeah.
So you're like doing a thing now where we just admitted we're doing this Saturday morning, but now
you already did earlier.
So now, I mean, we've told the audience we're recording this Saturday morning, and now you're pretending like we've already seen the Dolphins.
Pretending
game.
It's Monday and the podcast is out. What a game! No, we're going to talk about that later. We are going to talk about that game later because I am projecting that it had a playoff atmosphere. Yeah.
The way we do it is we record about 10 different versions of a Dolphins reaction, and we just air the one that fits the most after the game.
Exactly.
So, like, after this podcast recording, we'll do, like, 10 different reactions to Dolphins Bills, and then we'll plug in
family on the weekends.
This is why Yeti hates us, and then we'll plug in the most accurate one. So,
Christopher, I want to talk for a second about what you and I did Friday night, the night before.
Thursday night. Friday night, you fainted.
That's true. Thursday night. And
I'm surprised, honestly. If I would have bet which night was he going to faint, I would have thought it was the Thursday night because we did. We went to Uncle Scotchy's one man blues opera show, which is so cool. If you're in South Florida and you're just into a unique, interesting, intimate, like you've never seen before type of show. It's like a play / music / storytelling. It's just super unique and interesting and cool. I couldn't recommend it more. It's a true story of Uncle Scotchy, Eric Garcia, a friend of ours. He helps run the Moss Miamis. He's also a local musician down here in Miami. He's the front man for Juke, the band. Really talented guy. He does this one-man show. It is just so cool. It's like, how often in life can you do something that you can be like, I've never done this before. Whether I like it, love it, hate it, this is just interesting and unique. So if you're in South Florida, I think he's got a run of these going over the next few weeks. Look up the Blues Opera with Uncle Scotchy.
Yeah, Scotchy's Blues Opera.
Yeah.
That's right. And months ago, we referenced in the podcast that Christopher and his buddy Alex were planning a surprise for my friend Chris and I. And that was the surprise.
Yeah.
They brought us to, it was in Little Havana. In Miami, where Spanish is the first language. It's like going to a whole different country. It's very exotic, very interesting to be there. When we were first got there, there were people selling Argentine and Honduran flags for the soccer match that was coming up.
And so, like, this, it's so cool. It's in a house, and there's, like, through the, like, you walk through different rooms, and there's, like, is it, what would you call that? It didn't, like, feel smoky, but it was, like, foggy. Like, it's purposely foggy and, like, dark. Yeah. It's a cool setting. But the joking thing is, with all the fog and my dad being in an intimate setting where he's trying not to cough, there were a few instances where my dad was, like, being the guy that was trying to stifle a cough. Like, during, like, Uncle Scott, Yeti, during, like, Uncle Scotchy's, like, big finale, my dad is like having a coughing fit and is in the corner needing to like, so that's what I mean. I'm surprised that he was standing up. I'm surprised in hindsight, I'm surprised he didn't faint at the Uncle Scotchy show, because he did a lot more cough stifling at that show than he did at High Lie.
Well, here's why. You remember, Christopher, before the show, a woman associated with the show had sort of warned everybody, do not interrupt Uncle Scotchy.
Right.
And if you have to leave for any reason, I will escort you out, but you cannot come back in.
It's like if you walk out of the room during the show, you're out for good. So it was like my dad was feeling the pressure of like, I can't step out for a second. It was just so in hindsight, your coughing was much worse at the Uncle Scotchy show. So maybe it was just a buildup. Maybe the faint was coming because of all that buildup.
Yeah, but I cannot brag about that show enough and recommend it enough to anybody who may be in South Florida, because it really has the feel of a one-man off Broadway play where it's in this small venue. You do change.
It's not a venue. It's a house.
It's a house, right?
Just a house, right?
Right. But there are different scenes where you go from one room to the next, and
it's turned into a set. They turned it into a set, but it's just a house that they've rented, right?
And it's
which makes it even cooler.
Yeah, it's his experience about essentially, not to give anything away, his experience about caring for his two elderly parents, one after the other.
Right.
And that experience. And
said enough. Yeah. It's
very emotional, though.
Yeah. It's really emotional, well told. And just like I said, if you're a fan of the arts, creative stuff, people creating something from nothing.
Right.
If you're a fan of art, you're not going to be disappointed. You might feel like it might make you sad. You know, there's a lot. It's a roller coaster of emotions, but it's really cool. If you're around Miami, look it up, because I think they're doing a long second run here. So there should be time to see it if you want to.
I feel like we've had a very serious episode so far, so I want to sneak in a quick dad joke of the week.
Okay.
Why don't oysters share their pearls?
Go on.
Because they're shellfish. That was funny.
Give me a sounder.
Right on. I genuinely thought that was, you know, here's the thing with these dad
jokes. whole like shellfish thing is like very like, it's like the most overused joke
like
when it comes
play
to
on
any
words.
Like any kind of shellfish.
It's like the cheapest play on words, though. It's the shrimp of playing on words. And I love shrimp, but
it's literally the worst dad joke you've done so far.
I think it was great. I loved it.
At least you really brought us back. Now we're really laughing.
The banana wasn't peeling well was so much better.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think they're comparable. I think they're in the same category. Hey, Christopher, I was saying to you the other night, and I want to remind you, we have to decide on this. We've been saying we're going to have a bet on whether or not I can get Tony Kornheiser on the on the show before the end of this year.
Dad, you named the bet. You're not getting him on the show.
Okay. Well,
we're entering the final quarter.
I know. But I'm still hopeful I'm going to make a last charge, a last rush. And so,
so you've got him coming on during the holiday season.
I've got him coming on fairly soon. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I want you to suggest a bet, because I can't think of any. I mean, my bet would be the Olympics are done. We no longer have to swim two laps. That would be my winning prize.
So you're gonna drag out the Olympics for another 3 months potentially.
I think we should let the audience suggest a bet. Like if I had a good one off the top of my head, I'd tell you. I haven't like, you know, really thought about it. So I need to think about it. And I don't know. I think it'd be fun. Maybe we'll take some submissions from the audience this week.
Should we call this the Greg Cody Show Gird of Death?
I like it. The Gird of Death. I like that. Good idea, Gary.
I do like us. I like the idea of us doing some sort of spinoff, like of the Gird of Death or some sort of football pool. But it sucks the way we release, because our episode comes out Monday. So it's like, we'd have to work on the timing of like when we were predicting things and when we're reacting. So it like makes sense for the audience. We're having a meeting now on air.
Welcome to our show meeting, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Should I complain about Mike Shores back in my day?
Just do it. If you're going to do it into the mic.
Okay. Okay. On the Levitard show last week, and I love Mike Shore, but he sort of annoyed me last week with
I was getting texts. The streets were talking. I keep doing that whenever people give me info, and people think I'm talking about Andrew Streeter. That's just what I say. If anybody, like any listener, says anything to me, I say the streets are talking. Like, I'm not talking about Andrew Streeter.
What were the streets saying about that?
Streets were saying that you were coming off really sensitive and like irritable on Twitter after your appearance on Tuesday. You went after Mike Schur, and you went after something else.
I went after being snubbed on picture day.
There you go. Don't even get me started on that. I mean, ridiculous on that.
No, I mean, first of all, here I am. I'm on the show for free. Driving down, it's costing me money. You know, I'm spending $10 on gas both ways. I'm doing the show at great personal cost.
Wow, that's funny.
I love Levitard.
And you pay Yeti, and like you just hemorrhage money doing podcasts.
I know. Speaking of which, I owe you guys money, but you can cut that out. The check's in the mail. So Mike Shore does a parody back in my day about me not doing enough back in my days.
Yeah.
But here's the beauty of it. In the back of my day, he's giving examples of good, obvious ideas for back in my days. I've done them all, Mike.
Yeah.
You don't have to say that. I've done them all. So in meaning to make fun of me, he underlined my point, which is that when you've been doing back in my days since 2014, it's tough to come up with fresh ideas that haven't been done.
You should do a back in my day of just research, like inaccurate. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a back in my day that you could go at him, like where it's a back in my day of just going at Mike Schur. Right. Like back in my day when somebody as, you know, respected as Mike Schur blasted me, they were right. They weren't just making things up. Like,
yeah,
you
know, I should do that.
Maybe you just say, I guess I have a back in my day this week, and it's not even a back in my day. It's just you defending yourself to Mike Schur.
I should do that.
With the music playing underneath, where you're just like, facts!
Right. Like, no, I should do that. And on the same day that happened, I'm showing up with a long sleeve black shirt.
Yeah.
I'm ready for picture day. Where's my picture?
Okay, Yeti. So the night before, Witty and I separately tell my dad, hey, we're doing pictures tomorrow. Come dressed, ready to take a couple headshots.
Right, which I did.
And he does. So he shows up, and then the show ends. And my dad, instead of saying, okay, because the night before, two people told him, hey, we're doing pictures. Instead of saying to someone, hey, when are pictures, guys? Like, should I stay? Where are we doing pictures? Instead of doing that, he slinks out the door and just leaves.
I don't slink.
He just leaves. He doesn't say bye to anyone. He doesn't say, all right, so I guess we're not doing pictures. I'm leaving. He just leaves. And then at around 4 p.m., I get a text from him. What the hell? Why am I seeing on Instagram you guys took pictures? Why did anyone tell me? I'm like, Dad, why didn't anyone tell me? Witty and I did tell you the night before. Wouldn't Dad, that's like saying, hey, you have a soccer game tomorrow at 6 p.m. Come dressed ready for soccer. I show up for that soccer thing, dressed ready for soccer. And then without saying to anyone, hey, let's play soccer, I just leave. Okay, and then I get mad at the people for playing soccer.
Okay, Billy knew I was leaving. And he didn't say, wait, aren't you staying around for
photo? Well, that's so somebody that didn't text you and know that you were taking part in the picture.
That you were invited.
Why didn't you or Witty say anything? Why didn't anybody say anything?
Because we were all just there living our lives. And
I'm only in there once a week. I'm a part-time member of that show.
Dad, Mike Fuentes and Danny, our video guys, got their headshots. Do you think the big plan was, let's make sure Greg Cody doesn't get his picture taken? Or did you just leave?
Okay, I was in the studio for 5 hours. Never had my picture taken.
Because we did it after the show.
And I was there after the show.
You're annoying.
Like, but you didn't ask anybody, hey, are we still doing picture day?
And nobody asked me.
But then why would you just leave and assume it's not? We're all dressed up. I was in a collared shirt, not wearing a hat. We're talking on air about how we all are dressed up. Like, it's just so clear. We're making fun of Witty for wearing a suit. It's such a Witty thing to wear. It's so much content about that we're all clearly taking pictures after the show. And then you just leave without saying, hey, guys, about that. Hey, before I leave, weren't we doing pictures? Like, you're an adult. Yeah. I can't literally hold your hand for everything.
Yeah. Well, be good if you did.
Oh, boy.
No, the truth of the matter is I have no idea why the pictures were being taken to begin with. So.
Exactly. You just wanted to get out of there. I'm like, you are so full of shit on this.
Businesses bring in photographers all the time for their employees.
Why?
Well, like, Dad, we have Dad, we're trying to do credentials and we're trying to get our website up, because a little behind the scenes, like with getting credentialed for sporting events, teams and leagues love a website where you can like click on it and you see a roster of like, okay, here's all these people. Like we don't like, we just have the SUI, that website. So it's like, which is like trains and like, it looks like a Simpsons episode. So it's like we've gotten a lot of requests from leagues of like, hey, like this will be a lot easier to approve you guys for credentials if you get like a website with a,
you know, webbing it.
So that's why like we're doing like, you know.
So since I was snubbed for the photos, does that mean I'll also be omitted from the website?
Now.
Okay.
Fine. Dad, like you're one and one with these two arguments. I'm with you on Mike Schur. You have a valid argument. He made fun of you by referencing back in my days, you've done them all. So right. Like, but the picture thing, you got to take the L on. Like if you, you secretly didn't want to take pictures and then wanted to complain about it. Like you had, to you, that was the best of both worlds.
Why would I secretly not want to take pictures?
You're like, I can leave right now and get out of taking pictures and I have something I can bitch about.
That went through my mind zero. There was zero thought that I want to leave now to avoid taking pictures.
I think you were like excited about the idea of like, wow, like no one's actually told me to stay. Like I can leave right now and have the excuse that I was just like, you were like excited about the idea of like, wow, I could leave right now and blame it on others and it won't be my fault.
Absolutely not true. It was picture day. Jessica was not on the show that day. But she shows up in the studio afterwards.
That's another reason to know that pictures are happening.
And I said, hey, Jess, why are you here? And she said, no, picture day. And I'm like, all right, I'm here. Nobody's coming up
and then
to
you
me.
Left.
Other people are sitting on.
You had that interaction with her.
Taking pictures,
you
but
had,
I'm not.
You had that interaction with her after the show. So
correct.
She literally said to you, I'm here for pictures. We're doing pictures. So like you were invited by Witty and me to do it. So you should take that cue and be like, all right, pictures are happening. Why would you just leave?
Okay. I am. Let me do the pie chart of blame here.
We're staying on this way too long. This is a ridiculous topic.
Okay. The pie chart of blame is you and Witty, the biggest pieces of pie, because you invited me to the picture day and then didn't follow up by saying, Greg, you're going to hang around, Dad, you're going to hang around for pictures, right? Because we're about to do this.
Okay. You're ridiculous. Okay.
We need someone to make Greg Cody's pie chart of blame now.
I'm back.
I'd love to see
I'm that. Back now. I'm not that sad that you fainted yesterday.
Okay. No, you're not sad.
It took a half hour.
Okay. So the Miami Marlins are bribing me.
I would say they're calling it promoting.
They are calling it promoting. In an otherwise awful asswipe season, the Marlins have a great player, Sandy Alcantara, the starting pitcher, who is the betting favorite right now, despite the surrounding team, for the NL Cy Young Award.
I mean, it's not even close, though. it's not even close that like he's got like five complete games and like the rest of the National League has like eight.
Yeah, but since when is complete games like
for pitchers in this day and age? I mean, I think that's
The best pitchers in the league don't have complete games, not because they're good pitchers, but because their manager thinks that he doesn't want to overuse their arm.
But yet Sandy does have complete games.
Right. And he leads the league in innings pitched by about 20 innings, which some would argue they're overusing him. But anyway, you've derailed me here. The point is, the Marlins are sending out swag to me and other baseball voting baseball writers. A T-shirt, a bottle of beach sand for Sandy Beach.
For Sandy Beach.
There's a message in the bottle, which, by the way, is very difficult to get this out of the bottle. But it's just a message extolling all of Sandy's stats. Now, don't get me wrong. I would vote for him for Cy Young, despite his record only being 13-8. But he's top five in ERA. He's got almost 200 strikeouts. His WAR rating, wins above replacement, is 7.1, which is by far the most of any starting pitcher. I think that's the selling point.
I just think I wouldn't go out to after the Marlins on this. They have a guy who is clearly worthy of this award, and they're just basically saying to people, hey, I know we've had a nothing season. I know you haven't probably thought about us, but just so you know.
They're campaigning. It's what you do. It's like the big game musical is clearly deserving of a Grammy nomination, but you have to campaign for it. Right. Make sure people know about it. No, Greg, this really reminds me of, like, you talk about his win-loss record. You can't go by that. That war is much more important, because this, I really made Jeremy Taché depressed a couple months ago, because I told him that I was getting King Felix vibes off of Alcantara. Like, when Felix Hernandez won the Cy Young, like, most dominant pitcher that year, but the Mariners were garbage as far as his win-loss record, because he would pitch eight shutout innings and then not win the game.
The the vibes is really the Marlins are those Mariners. Alcantara is just a horse and a beast. We shouldn't hold it against him, but you are right about that.
They'd lose a one-run game in the ninth.
He will have to be the most dominant pitcher on a bad team since Felix, right? Like, I can't think of since then another Cy Young Award winner being on this bad of a team.
Yeah, I would think that would be it.
Yep. Dad, you don't even vote for Cy Young. Don't you just always get assistant coach of the year award? Like, what do you usually vote for?
Last time I voted for anything other than the Hall of Fame, I think my rotation was NL Manager of the Year. I don't know yet what I'm voting for this year. It could be the Cy Young Award. I just don't know right now. I didn't mean, I hope I was heard as kidding when I say the Marlins are trying to bribe me. Obviously, it's a PR campaign that they're smart to do. And by the way, Sandy Alcantara is going to win the NL Cy Young Award, but if he doesn't, the Marlins have only themselves to blame for having no bats around him, because that 13-8 record could very easily be 18-3. Like he could be a landslide winner, even more than he might be in the Cy Young, except they just, the Marlins got mad at me early in the season because I said the owner promised to spend more on offense and he hasn't done it. Well, guess what?
I mean, he kind of has, though. I mean, they brought in Garcia from the White Sox, just nothing. Or was he on the Tigers?
They brought in Soler. He's done nothing.
That's what I mean. Right. I mean, they haven't signed any, perennial. I mean, Garcia is supposed to be a guy that could be a perennial all-star. I mean, I'm with you. They haven't gotten the top-tier bat, but they have tried to do things here and there to improve the offense. They just haven't worked out. That's still an indictment. I'm not saying that's not a defense of them, but, it's almost worse, honestly. They have tried and fit. It's not like they haven't done it. They've spent some money, and that hasn't worked out.
Yeah, no, they've made bad signings, and that's an indictment of the club.
And I do think, Kim Ng has gotten the benefit of the doubt early on, just because it's give her a chance here to do her job. But you're starting to see some rumblings of some criticism for her.
Well, not only that, but quite frankly, a lot of other franchises would have changed managers way before this. It's very rare and I like Don Mattingly. I think he's a quality manager, but it's very rare for a manager to be allowed to manage six or seven losing seasons in a row.
I can't believe we are doing Marlins talk right now. I did not see this coming. Let's move on. But I do agree with you that while I don't blame, Billy's a big anti-Donnie guy, criticizes him a lot for his in-game managing. Right. I disagree with that. I think he's a good manager. But I do think I'm kind of with you that it might just be time for a fresh voice. Yeah. More than I think Donnie's not, I think Donnie's one of these guys that will, probably get another job. He's just, people just think of Donnie Baseball as, that's a solid manager. So, I think, it's one of those things where it's, do you want to let a coach go if he's going to be one of those guys that just gets swooped up? He's clearly a good coach. They haven't had a great roster. So, I can see both sides to, a new voice coming in, and it's not really his fault.
I want to switch gears real quick and mention a headline I read and get your guys' reaction. Brad Pitt releases genderless skincare line with grapes from his own vineyard. I go back and forth on how I feel about celebrities who already are filthy rich coming out with skincare lines. How do you, am I wrong about that? Is that a little Brad, you have enough money. Why are you branching off into skincare?
Why are you selling t-shirts?
Why aren't you doing a podcast that makes you hemorrhage money?
Right.
That's a better question. Why am I selling
Brad,
t-shirts?
Not you.
you're putting me in league with Brad Pitt?
No, narcissism's your answer. I'm literally asking him.
Dad, it's such a weird thing. What do you mean? Why is a guy with a lot of money using that money to make more money? Because he wants more money.
What
do you mean? These celebrities, they know that their name sells and they have a business manager that pitches them 100 ideas. Hey, you want to make more money? We could start this line.
I know.
It's just like he's like, oh, I like that. We'll start that. And okay. like it's just it's money making more money. It's famous people using, like, you know, I'm on, why are you on Cameo? To make more money, because you can.
I am not a celebrity like Brad Pitt is. I mean, don't even equate me.
But that's all relative compared to someone else.
Would be this.
Okay, yeah, compared Brad to some, but to compare to someone else, you are Brad Pitt. Like, you Brad know what I mean? Pitt
coming out with a skincare line would be analogous to LeBron James coming out with a perfume. Okay, let me buy my
or a cologne.
A bottle of LeBron James cologne. I mean,
yeah, I could see that.
It's fine to do it, but I'm allowed to make fun of it.
So look at it this way, Greg. You're not going to let anybody tell you what to do with your money, you know, and the investments you make. And so there's that. But also, like, if you ever listen to Montgomery and Company, they're talking about building generational wealth and being able to pass on things to the next generation and beyond. But also, I mean, we don't know, some of that money might go, you know, it gives him the opportunity to invest in other things, like,
right,
like producing films. Maybe he wants to have more money in his pocket to be able to produce films. That's not a cheap venture, you know? Right. And
okay. Yeah, but like, I love how you're just like, I don't believe in it. It's like, I don't even believe that you don't believe in it. Like, I don't believe you're angry about this. This is one of those things that you're just kind of like, Brad Pitt, get out of here. Like, I don't think you're at, like, it's just a normal thing. He's a businessman.
All right. Okay. You know what? I will accept this loss. I will accept. And I don't do that often. So take my L.
What about the picture day loss?
No, I won't take that. No, that's not a loss.
So you're 2-1?
Oh, boy.
That's not a loss, but this is a loss. And so I want to do one more thing here, and then I want to plug our merch store because exciting things
are happening. It's really cool how people love Greg's Lobos. Like, my dad right now just wants to give you an update on his score of his Lobos team, but I don't want him to do it. Yeah. But my dad thinks you guys are all buying these Greg's Lobos shirts because you genuinely want to know how many points Dak Prescott has.
Damn right. I mean, my quarterback's not Dak Prescott, by the way.
I'm just using a random name. Like my dad doesn't get the bit. My dad thinks you guys genuinely care how many points his tight end has.
I think they do. Pat Freiermuth.
How many points would you give Greg's tight end? On hotornot.com.
Okay. All right. So go to the merch store because the new Lobos t-shirts are genuinely
They're good.
Flying off the racks. We have them on racks.
They've been out like less than a week, and they're already one of like our most popular item ever.
They really are. And the shipping on mine got here quick. I ordered mine on a Tuesday and it showed up Friday. I'm wearing it right now. I love it. It's a great look. It's a great fit. Get your one now at shop.thegregcodyshow.com.
So order it on a Tuesday, and then you might get it by the weekend.
You never know.
Okay. This is going to come off like me complaining again, like I did about Brad Pitt before I took the L.
Brad Pitt?
I did say Brad Pitt. How do we feel about people referring to themselves as a YouTube star? Okay, I've never been a big...
They're YouTube stars.
I've never been a big Jake Paul fan because of that. You know, to me, if you're a YouTube star, I don't care how much money you make from it, you don't have a job. That's my attitude about YouTube stars.
Oh my God, you are so... hit the sound.
Greg Cody.
I don't know how to do any of that.
It's old.
Dad, I mean, this is just... Okay. It is a genre now. Like, you know how people...
Yeah, it's not a job.
...were musicians, now they're YouTubers, like content
creators.
It's how
they made their name.
Dad, it is like... It's... Like
anyway,
that anyway, like, you know why
as he will text me later wondering when is the YouTube video going to be up?
Yeah,
that's a promotional video.
You're so annoying.
Okay,
Dad, you know how you and I got paid a decent amount of money to do Elijah Craig, that video?
Well, I don't remember that.
Remember the Father's Day thing?
Yeah, I do.
That was just we were YouTube stars that day. That's just for YouTube. That was just for social media. Right. You went to that golf course and you made a YouTube video.
Okay. Here's something else a YouTube star did. A YouTube star whose name I refuse to mention, unless you ask me.
What's her name, Greg?
Trisha Payton. Named her daughter Malibu Barbie.
I can beat you on a better YouTube star story from this past week. Did you see the story of some YouTuber was in like Target doing a fart prank where like he just happened to stumble upon Ray Allen? So Ray Allen, like, he just was just like going up to what he thought was a random guy and doing a little and then like getting the reaction of people. And Ray Allen like saw that he was being videotaped and thought that he was being videotaped because he was Ray Allen. So like was like, hey, I don't. And they had this big reaction of like, yo, I see you video. And like, I don't, this ain't cool. And the guy afterwards was just like, who is that? And they're like, it's Ray Allen. He's like, oh, I, It was like a guy, a famous YouTuber who always pranks people. Like he definitely didn't know it was Ray Allen, but it was just Ray Allen had a moment of like, oh, he must be just doing this because I'm. I mean, either way, it's kind of a dick move to prank someone like that. But Ray Allen's reaction was funny.
Right. No, that's a professional asshole. And I don't mean Ray Allen. I mean the prankster. And likewise, if you're a YouTube star who purely for publicity is actually legally naming her daughter Malibu Barbie, that is beyond Look at Me Louie. That's somebody, I guarantee you, this Malibu Barbie, when she becomes of legal age, will change her name. Because it's unfair to saddle a girl with the name Malibu Barbie. Now, I'm old, blah, blah, blah. Am I wrong on this?
I mean, it's definitely a different name. Like, I don't know. I'm just not going to do the, I'm Greg Cody and I dismiss this as being allowed. Can we get to football?
I really wanted to name my son King Thunder and my wife rejected that one.
See, I like King Thunder.
KT, can we get to football?
Let's get to football.
Hopefully I'm not too drunk.
You will be.
Oh, boy.
The Dolphins are 3-0, Greg.
The Dolphins are 3-0.
Right on.
For the first time. Since way back in 2018. Now, I have to say, it hadn't been that long. They were 3-0 in 2018. I was there. They finished 7-9. So I'm not here to throw a wet blanket. I am not here to throw a wet blanket. This is a different team, a better team. But I do want to caution that, you know, that was the mantra after the game in the locker room is that, you know, players were like, you know, we expected to win today. This is we're not playing to be 3-0. You know, we have bigger fish in the kettle or whatever that expression is. But they are 3-0 under a new coach for the first time since Jimmy Johnson in 1996. So that's kind of cool. But were you able to watch the game yet or no?
No. I was doing the Tony thing and falling asleep during a football Sunday.
I hear that. it was the weirdest possible game. It was not the kind of game. A team wins. The time of possession in favor of Buffalo was more than 2-1. The offensive plays were 90-39. Tua only threw 18 passes. Josh Allen threw 63.
Wow.
It was just not the kind of game you normally win, and that's a good sign.
Yeah. Weren't there defensive concerns going into this season? Compared to last season, I think y'all felt pretty good about the defense. Were there a few more concerns this year, or were they just not getting the shine?
Yeah, I would say there were going into this week, only because they gave up a ton of points. They gave up 38 points to Baltimore last week. You know, so the theme was that last week the offense bailed them out, and this week the defense sort of bailed them out by holding Buffalo. Even though Buffalo did gain a ton of yards, they were limited to two touchdowns and a field goal and a safety, and for Josh Allen's offense, fireworks offense, that's not much. So the Dolphins defense was pretty great today.
Yeah, to be able to hold that offense to few points, especially when that offense controlled the ball for the majority of the game, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's really cool. But do you still know anything about them? Are the Dolphins for real?
Yeah, I think we do. I think they're going to be a good team, a playoff contending team. I'm not going to sit here and say because they beat Buffalo by 2 points today that they're a better team, but they're certainly in the mix in the AFC. Where today or Sunday we're recording this, you saw the LA Chargers lose to Jacksonville. You know, so there's a lot of upheaval. Facts is facts. The Dolphins are the last unbeaten team in the AFC. So, you know, take that for what it's worth, but it's not nothing.
Right on.
So I think they're going to have a good season. But there was a controversy coming out of the game because Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback, went out of the game late in the first half with what they called a head injury, which is NFL speak for a concussion.
Right.
Okay. And it was just before the half. So to begin the second half, he was back in the game. And now the NFLPA is investigating to see whether the protocol was rushed to get him back in the game, the concussion protocol. But the Dolphins are saying, no, it wasn't a concussion. It was a lower back injury. That the reason he was wobbling in what looked like a concussion state was because he had just endured a lower back injury that they explained, and it may be legit. But
so was the head injury, was that officially reported right away and then they said no, it's lower back, or was it assumed head injury?
No, it was reported in the press box to be a head injury, and then after the game Mike McDaniel, the head coach, mentioned that it was not, you know. And this, we're getting in the weeds a little bit. I don't think anything's going to happen to the Dolphins, but it is an interesting little sidelight coming out of this game. One thing I did want to mention in the spirit of My dog is making so much noise right now. What the hell is going
on? Noisy Charlie.
Get out of the room. Christ. I'm serious.
You're listening to the Jumping Charlie Show with Jumping Charlie.
The dog's got claws the size of talons. Dale Talon, former Florida Panthers general manager. But that's a digression. All right. I want to say that the Marlins on Sunday parted ways with Don Mattingly, their manager of 7 years, which is a ton of time. That's longevity for an MLB manager. And they needed to do it. You know, they needed to. They've been spinning wheels. The problem is it's not Don Mattingly's fault. Okay, if I'm going to place the blame for yet another disappointing season this year, it's that the owner, Bruce Sherman, did not spend enough money or enough money wisely to get a lineup that could support his strong pitching. So,
yeah, David Sampson had good things to say about him, just saying that he was the consummate professional and it was one of the joys getting being able to work with him for a little bit.
Yeah.
What's interesting, though, is that earlier in this episode, Chris mentioned the possibility of letting Don Mattingly go, and he said... He said, you know, not that Don has done a terrible job, but maybe it's just it's time for a new voice.
Yeah.
And I quote Jeremy Taché today, courtesy of at Jeremy Taché on Twitter. I saw the tweet earlier. He was quoting Don Mattingly as saying it was time for a new voice. And yeah. So there we have it. It seems that Chris kind of had an ear to the ground in the Dolphins. I mean, in the Marlins organization, and maybe he suggested to Don that it was time to go, and Don listened to him.
That's it. There you go.
That was a dumb take, but
well, no, hey, it could be accurate.
We've seen that happen several times, and we know that Mark Jackson with the Golden State Warriors. I'm not saying that the Marlins are on the verge of making a dynasty run, but he had a lot of talent on the team and just couldn't quite get them across the finish line. And then they get Steve Kerr in, and they went on the run that we've seen for the last several years. A different voice, even if no difference in talent, can make a big difference.
I'm not a big fan of change for the sake of change when it comes to coaches and managers, but in this case, I think it's very justified. And I hope they get somebody who's capable of working with a low payroll, because I don't see the Marlins really getting in the game and spending big like some of these other teams, particularly in their own division where the Mets are going crazy with spending. Anyway.
Speaking of Christopher.
Yeah.
He's not here.
Christopher attended the big Dolphins game with a group of friends. They did the whole tailgate thing. I think they get there about 10 a.m. And it would be reckless speculation for me to assume that a day of drinking, hours and hours of steady drinking, had caused him to skip this little end to our podcast here.
But look, I say go for it, Chris. Because Greg, if you weren't covering the game, what state would you be in right now after beating the Buffalo Bills in this game and starting the season 3-0?
It is true. It is true.
Yeah, yeah. So Chris, party on, my friend.
There you go. So we miss Christopher. We miss his rejoinder here toward the end of our episode, but we'll be back. Are we wrapping it up now or what?
It is the time.
It is the time. It's time. I want to thank everybody, as always, for listening to us. I hope our podcast didn't get too serious on you this week with some of the talk we had about me, my latest fainting spell, and Christopher being so worried and all that stuff. Anyway, thanks for coming along on the ride. Even when it isn't always a rollicking laugh fest ride, we hope that you enjoy it nonetheless. So that kind of thing. And we'll catch you next week. As my dog continues to clack his long toenails in my wood floor here. Just driving me crazy.
I'm so bad by these outros. Chris is great at them. Chris is so good.
But at least you're here.
Brad.